chapter 10. The book of Hebrews chapter 10 and starting with, Hebrews chapter 6 and starting with verse 10. Somebody said amen when you get there. Amen. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10 through verse 14. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. I could just stop right there because that's really what I want to preach about tonight. God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. Not labor, but labor of love. Amen. Which you have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do shew the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. I was looking at that this week. Amen. Followers of them. There needs to be some leaders among us. Amen. Praise God. Needs to be some leaders that others can follow. Amen. And he said, be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith, that's those that's been around a long time and they've weathered the storms and they've gone through the trials and they have faith and patience. And go ahead and all of us inherit the promises. We're in this together here tonight. We're in this together. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. Praise God. Surely, he said, surely blessing I will bless thee. Amen. But God is not unrighteous to forget. Amen. I just want to use that phrase right there. God is not unrighteous to forget. Amen. Let's pray together. Let's ask for the help of the Lord tonight. Father, we thank you for the seasons. Thank you, Lord, that our leaf will not wither. Whatsoever we do shall prosper because we've got our roots deep in you. Help us tonight to know more about our relationship with you. Touch us tonight. We give you honor. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight? Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. God bless you. You can be seated. Amen. We serve an awesome God tonight. And when we looked at it here a few services ago where we talked about the mind of God, and when we talk about the mind of God and the thoughts of God, Scripture talks about both of those, the thoughts of God and the mind of God is so high that none of us could ever attain unto it. But there is something really awesome in the Scriptures that says that we have the mind of Christ. Amen. And that's awesome. I think that it's time and in our generation today that we start thinking like God thinks and we look and examine the Word of God to see what His thoughts are, what goes on in the mind of God. And I believe tonight that if we can understand the way that that He does it, it will revolutionize our lives, amen, to have the mind of Christ, not the carnal mind, but the mind of Christ. And Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 12, since we're there in Hebrews, he said, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more, amen. And so the Scripture lets us to know that God forgets some things. Amen. He forgets some things, and then He doesn't forget some things. And it's important that we understand this. And He said, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. That's a comforting word of God right there. Because when we're forgiven, we're forgiven. It doesn't come back up again. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 16. It says, "This is the covenant that I will make with them. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." Very, very similar to the other scripture that we read. New Testament scripture, 1 John 1 and 9. And if you don't keep up with me, that's all right. But John wrote, he said, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Amen. He forgives. God forgives. The word forgive here in the Greek is the word to send. Amen. To send. It reminds me, or it means to send forth. It reminds me of the scapegoat in the Old Testament that took the sins of the people, and they took him out into a far place and they let him go, and he would never come back again. Praise God. Our sins and iniquities he will remember no more. What a comforting thought tonight. And so when we come to God in repentance, I pray that all of us will do that. You haven't come to the Lord in repentance, you need to do that. Amen. You need to open your heart and say, "God, I'm sorry for all the things that I've done." For Scripture tells us that all have sinned and fallen short. We've all fallen short here tonight. And we would not be able to have church. We would not be able to have fellowship. We would not be able to have anything, amen, if it were not for repentance and then forgiveness. Amen. Because when we repent, he forgives. Amen. And Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, Scripture tells us here, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." I could use that as a oneness scripture right there. But he's talking about the God who created all things became a father of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not one God who is a father of another God. It's not a father God and a son God. It is God. Amen. There's only one God tonight. Amen. "Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places." How many understands that tonight? He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Not a few, but all of them. "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world." These are powerful words here tonight. "That we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." Praise God. A lot of scriptures there. But when we look at one word out of this, we could spend the whole night on that, on those verses there. But there's one word that jumps out. It jumps out at me when I was going through this, and it is the word forgiveness. Everybody said forgiveness. Forgiveness. Amen. And the word forgiveness in the original, it is the word aphesis in the Greek. And it has some interesting definitions to it. In fact, when I began to look at it, there are actually six words that describe this one word, which kind of lets me to know that it's a very important word and something that we need to understand. I believe that we need to understand forgiveness tonight. God's forgiveness of us. Aren't you thankful for his forgiveness? Brother Deontay talks a lot about God being good. Amen. If God never blessed me with anything, but all he did was forgive me, it would be worth it to live my whole life for him. But there are six words, and one of them is freedom. One is pardon, one is deliverance, one is forgiveness, One is liberty and one is remission. Amen. And so when we look at these, actually I want to look at five because we've already talked about forgiveness, and that's the word we're trying to describe. The first one there is freedom. And you might just jot this down or try to put it in the back of your mind. Pull it back up when the devil starts knocking on your door and saying that God doesn't love you anymore. Amen. That when he tells you that you're really not important in the kingdom of God, you can bring this back up and put him in his place. Amen. And not just the devil, but our flesh. Our flesh will try to tell us that God doesn't love us, but God loves us. Amen. Freedom, it means a state of exemption from the power or control of another. And so when we are forgiven, we have been given an exemption, amen, from the power or the control of another. The world is controlled by sin, but when we are forgiven, we are free from that sin. The next word is pardon, and it says here, we pardon the offender when we release or absolve him from his liability to suffer punishment. Oh, yes, we can be an offender, and we may have a jail term or a fine or something along that line. But when we are forgiven, we are pardoned completely. Praise God. Amen. The President of the United States has the power and the authority to pardon anybody he chooses. And when he pardons them from the liability that they have suffered by their punishment. Amen. There's a lot of things that we could encounter in life because of our past sins. And sometimes those things follow us a little ways. But if you'll live for God, God will give you a complete pardon from the penalty, amen, and the liability of our sins. Isn't God great tonight? God is great tonight. It also means deliverance, and that means release from captivity, slavery, oppression, or any restraint. And so when we are guilty and we have sinned against God, there is a captivity. The Bible talks about Satan captivating the lives of people, and at his liberty, he does whatever he wants to do to them. But thank God, when we are forgiven of our sins, there is liberty. Praise God. Somebody smile just a little bit tonight. There is liberty. I have liberty in Jesus Christ. Amen. Liberty. I'm released from captivity, released from slavery, oppression, or any restraint. And then liberty. Liberty here means freedom from restraint as well. In a general sense, and it applies to the body, the will, or the mind. And so when we are forgiven, it is the will of God that we understand in our mind what took place in us. Amen. What took place when we repented of our sins, when we were baptized in his name, when we were filled with the Holy Ghost. It's important that we understand what took place, what happened to us as we live for God, because there will be times that the enemy will come along, and the Bible said they dealt wisely with them and they brought them into captivity. The devil hasn't changed his tactics. He wants to do that the same way in our generation today and in the life of everyone that's here tonight. But we've got to understand and we've got to live in the joy of liberty. Praise God. Thank God for liberty tonight. Amen. We're not oppressed by England anymore. We're a free people. Praise God. Amen. We have been liberated. We have been delivered from captivity. Remission is the last word that this word forgiveness means, and it is the giving up of the punishment due to a crime, as in talks about as well the remission of sins. And so the giving up of the punishment, Punishments are given out because they are written down somewhere on a paper. Gavin Culbertson robbed a bank, and so he has to go to jail for 10 days. Amen. And when he's shaking his head, yes, I think it'd be a little bit longer than 10 days. But remission means they take the paper and they tear it up. It's not even in your file anymore. Praise God. It is blotted out. It is washed away. It is erased, if you please. And so when we talk about forgiveness tonight, there's some very powerful principles and understandings that we can get from it. And the last one here, remission, where the paper is torn up and thrown away, where it is blotted out, where it is not there anymore, reminds us that when God forgives, God forgets. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. And this aspect of God is very exciting in that God never forgets. Amen. Never forgets, or he forgets our sins and never brings them back up to us again. And I think about Abraham, the scripture that we read tonight, where Abraham, God made promise to Abraham. And Abraham lived for God. Abraham was a very wealthy man. If you do a little bit of study into this man and you look at the lengths that Abraham was willing to go to serve God, he was willing to sell his businesses. He was willing to leave his family. He was willing to leave his country. He was willing to forsake everything and to come and follow after God. He was willing to sacrifice his only son and to kill him and sacrifice him and burn him on an altar. And we've got to look at Abraham from time to time, because really Abraham is the father of the faithful. We call him the father of the faithful. And all of these promises, I'm going to make your seed as the stars of the heaven. And Abraham believed God. He just looked up and he believed God like a little child will believe his father or his mother. And he looked up and he believed God, and God said, "This is a righteous man." And in his whole life, Abraham never saw the promise that God gave to him. But Abraham understood, amen, that God cannot lie. Amen. I want to say tonight, God cannot lie. And so, in our generation today, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 39, all these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. And so, part of walking by faith, amen, is just that, walking by faith. And we're here tonight by faith, and we serve God by faith because of our faith. We live the way we live because of our faith and our belief in God's word and our trust and our confidence in him. Amen. We've got to get a hold of this tonight, because starting out with the Lord is very exciting. Can somebody relate to that? Amen. Receiving the Holy Ghost, starting out with God, is very exciting. I remember when I started out with the Lord, I felt like I was walking 3 feet off of the ground. And what an exciting time in my life. And the newness and the thrill of the Holy Ghost. I can honestly say tonight that I'm just as thrilled tonight when I feel the Holy Ghost as I did back then. Praise God. But it's one thing to start a race, and it's quite another to finish the race. It's not just enough to get started, but we've got to have something in us that will keep us going all the way to the very end. Amen. Receiving the Holy Ghost is fantastic. There is nothing like it in all of the world. Amen. But there's more to it than just speaking in tongues one time. There's more to it than just receiving the Holy Ghost one time. There's more to it than just coming to the church and being excited about the church and the things of God. Because before the finish line, there's going to be obstacles that will come along. Before we go over the finish line, there's going to be a lot of things between the start and the finish. Amen. Going to be a lot of things. A lot of things that'll make you weary. A lot of things that will discourage you. There'll be a lot of things that happen that you question and you say, why are these things happening in my life? Amen. And each and every one of us, of course, have a different road to travel. But all the roads that we're traveling, whatever it is for you tonight, whatever it is for anyone for that matter, I was encouraged this morning when the young man rolled his wheelchair up to the altar and began to weep. Amen. We've all got different roads. I thought we've all got different roads to go down. Amen. But I thank God that we're healthy tonight. Thank God for Brother Charlie back tonight. And everything is going well. Amen. And yet there are seasons, there are times when the surgeon's knife has got to come. There are times when the surgeon's knife of the Word of God has got to come to our life, and we feel the pain and we feel the suffering that it brings to us. There's something that's got to be in us, amen, that will carry us through every season of life. Praise God. It may not feel like it tonight, and it may not look like it tonight, but this church is destined for revival. And you say, well, Pastor, you're just trying to get us excited. No, I'm not. God did not bring us this far to throw us away. God did not bring you to this place just to bring you to this place and leave you behind. Amen. But he brought us to a great place. Amen. And when we look at faith, the Bible talks about it in Hebrews 11, for without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Everybody said, believe that he is. We've got to believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so the rewards of the Lord come directly from our ability to understand that God remembers our labor and our work. Amen. Amen. He is God. We must believe that he is. Do we believe that he is tonight? I believe that he is tonight. I've seen him heal. I've seen him work many miracles. Amen. Is he working one tonight? Well, I can't see one tonight. Amen. There's a season of struggle, a season of difficulty, but thank God tonight we're not being hounded by the government. They haven't come and torn down our church and arrested the pastor. There are many, many in this world that are facing these things. And we don't understand it. We don't comprehend it. We don't even really want to think about it because we've got our little lives that we're living and we're comfortable and satisfied where we are. God has really blessed this church. God has really blessed your life. Amen. But even in the blessings, we've got to believe that he exists. And if he exists, and he does tonight, then he heals. Amen. He delivers. He does everything that we need. All we need is him. Praise God. And I talked a little bit about it this morning as we begin to look into the Word of God, that the greatest knowledge that we could have in this world is the knowledge of God. Amen. Not only do we need to believe that he is, but we need to believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen. A rewarder. Not necessarily on Friday when the work week is over, but at the very end of the journey, from the very end of the race that we're on. Amen. The reward is not here in this life. If it was, we wouldn't even look forward to going to heaven. Amen. But our reward is not here. Oh, we have little rewards as we go along, and God blesses us with wonderful things. Amen. But there's a long time, many, many times, there is a long time between the start of this race and the finish of this race. Much time goes by. Many seasons go by. Amen. Before we get the ark finished. Amen. Many, many summers go by. Many winters go by. Amen. I've noticed here in the last month or two that those that are basically my age have passed away in the last few weeks. And I look at them and I see where they started. And I see that things begin to develop, whether it was in the church or whether it was in their own personal life. And some of them went out into eternity, and there's a big question mark. And we're not here tonight to judge them or to say one way or the other. But I don't want to go out of this race parked on the side somewhere. Amen. Praise God. I may just have to go a little bit slower. You can't run a race fast when you're older. And that's where the younger ones get in and push this thing a little bit harder. Praise God. Because the day is going to come when you're going to find yourself in that place as well. Amen. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 14, it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods." And so the man that's traveling into a far country is Jesus. Amen. This is the kingdom of heaven. He traveled into a far country. He said, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come and receive you unto myself." And when he called his servants, he delivered unto them his goods. One of the goods that he gave to us is the understanding of forgiveness. Amen. God forgets when we come to him. Praise the Lord. But go down to verse 19. He delivered unto them his goods. But verse 19, after a long time. Everybody said a long time. Long time. In our generation, that's 15 minutes. Amen. But that's not Bible time. Praise God. That's not what it's talking about in Scripture. It's talking about a lot of time. Amen. It's talking about 120 years to build an ark. It's talking about 400 years of slavery before the Lord comes and delivers. It's talking about a 400 year of silence between Malachi and the coming of the Messiah. Amen. Our time periods are so different than God's time periods. But it says, after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And we know the ones that were not diligent received their reward. But thank God, I don't want to focus on that tonight. I want to focus tonight on those that were faithful and those that applied themselves and those that made up their mind, "I'm making it all the way to the very end." But I'm not just going to make it to the very end. I'm going to bring somebody with me. Praise God. I'm going to bring somebody with me. I'm going to help somebody else to know the truth. Amen. And this young man that was here this morning told me that he would like a Bible study. He wants to know more about the Word of God. Amen. And the scripture comes to me. I was listening to it last night in the book of James. And it says that if a man comes into our congregation with a gold ring on, and then another man comes in garments that are dirty and filthy, and we have a preference to the man that has the gold ring, that we are become partial and we have sinned. Amen. If anybody's interested in teaching this Bible study, see me after church tonight, for this young man needs God. Amen. After a long time. Oh, let's pray for Jay Sean and Dalton. For some reason, I want to say Dylan, but I'm saying Dalton tonight. Amen. Both of these young men came this morning, and I thought about it. I thought about it after the service. Pastor was not on his game this morning, but we preached the ministry of the Word of God. And it's not me that does anything. It's God that does it. And they came to me after the service, and they said, "You're not going to believe this." Of course, you know, it's brand new to them. And they both looked at each other, and they said, "The things that we were discussing together before the service, you brought up and you preached right to us." And I was able to point my finger at the younger man, at Dalton, and I pointed my finger at him. I said, "God's got your number. You better give your life to God." And I believe that they are interested in serving God. Brother Deontay is teaching them a Bible study. And we're very thankful for that tonight. These are quality young men. Amen. Amen. Deshaun is the captain of the football team in the high school where he's at. Very, very quality young man. And going to college to become a judge and a lawyer. And I'm sure that he can do it. But I told him this morning, I said, God's plan is sometimes different than our plan. You got to get a hold of God's plan in your life. Young person, get a hold of God's plan for your life. If it's God's plan that you work on a job and be the very best that you can be. If it's the will of God that you go into business and do the very best and be diligent with it. Praise God, whatever the call of God is in your life, get a hold of it. Amen, because there has been given to us some things. He went into a far country and delivered unto them his goods. What were the goods that he gave to them? Well, it makes reference here to the 12 disciples, but it's more than that. It's for you and I, this treasure that we have in earthen vessels. We're just dirt here tonight. We're just made out of the clay of the earth. And to think that the great God of heaven would take all that he has and deliver it unto us and then leave. Amen. And let us do what we can with what he has given us. Amen. What an awesome responsibility tonight. What an exciting responsibility tonight. That we have been given some things by God. After a long time, he's coming back. And when he comes back, amen, he's not going to forget the labor of love that they put into the kingdom of God. Amen. Luke 20 and verse 9, then began he to speak to the people this parable. A certain man planted a vineyard and led it forth to husbandmen. And the husbandmen here, the certain man that planted the vineyard was God. And he led it forth to husbandmen, which is Israel, and went into a far country for a long time. It also speaks of the vineyard of God's kingdom in the New Testament, and the husbandmen being you and I. Amen. He's given us his vineyard. He's given us his possessions. And at the season, he sent his servant to the husbandmen that they should give him of the fruit of the vineyard, but the husbandmen beat him and sent him away. I could go into that story, but I just wanted to bring out the point that he went into a far country for a long time. But just because a long time went by, it doesn't mean anything to our God who has not relegated himself to time. Amen. God is not influenced by time, but for us it is a long time. I say tonight, just let the mockers say what they want to say. Amen. God does not forget his people. Amen. Praise God. Amen. If you're alive when he comes back, he will not forget your labor of love. If you're in the grave when he comes back, he's not going to forget the labor of love. Amen. The thing that we need to do tonight is not to forget this truth. Amen. Because the scoffers that I made reference to there. They have one claim. And 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 3, 4, and 5, the scoffers and the mockers, they have something that they say. And if you're not careful, it can affect you. Amen. It's been this way, and it's always going to be this way. I reject that kind of thinking. Amen. Because God is able to do anything. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days, I believe we're in the last days, scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? I'll tell you what, these scoffers, they can point at the church, they can point at people, and they can say, there's a hypocrite, there's a problem, so on and so forth. They are scoffers, they are on the outside looking in. They do not have the Spirit. They don't understand the work of God. And they say, where is the promise of his coming? Show us the proof that he is coming. For since the fathers fell asleep, way back from Adam all to till today, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of. They know better, but they're going to say it anyway, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, and it goes on and describes the flood and the event of the world. Amen. Being destroyed by the flood. And so they were scoffers. Don't tell me that they were not scoffers to Noah. But Genesis chapter 8 and verse 1, and we estimate there's about 120 years. He was faithful. Here he is in the ark. He is saved because of his obedience to God. Genesis 8 and verse 1, and God remembered Noah. Now think about this tonight. Not only did he remember Noah, he remembered every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. God has his mind on his creation tonight. We're number one in the creation of God. We're the highest in the creation of God. And yet God did not forget every living thing, the snakes, the spiders, everything else. God did not forget them. And he made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. In other words, they came back down, and Noah came back to a brand new world. You see, tonight, God's timing is not my timing. But rest assured tonight, God does not forget. Amen. I want to read a few scriptures tonight, and then we'll finish here. Genesis chapter 30 and verse 22. It says, and God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened to her and opened her womb. God does not forget. God remembers. Exodus 2 and verse 24. And God heard their groaning. This is Israel. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. It's not that God forgot. Amen. But God did not forget. God remembered. Amen. Numbers 10 and verse 9. And if you go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresseth you, then ye shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, and ye shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and ye shall be saved from your enemies. Amen. What were the trumpets he was talking about? I preached on this many years ago. It was the silver trumpets. God commanded them to make silver trumpets. And the silver trumpets represent the preaching of the word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. A declaration that God is with us. We're going to war and we're going to fight this battle. And we are going to be saved from our enemies. Because when we blow the trumpet, when we stand in the pulpit and we preach the word of God, God remembers his covenant before us. Praise the Lord, and saves us from our enemies. Acts 10 and verse 4. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, this is Cornelius, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. Amen. Don't ever think that God forgot your prayers. The very first prayer that you ever prayed, God has remembered that prayer. Psalms 105 and verse 8, he hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. We're not even close to the 1,000th generation, but 1,000 generations will come and God will not forget. Amen. Judges 8, verse 34, and the children of Israel remembered not the Lord. Here's what we need to be careful about here tonight, folks. God will not forget your labor of love, but if we're not careful, we will forget God's promises and God's love for us. The children of Israel remembered not the Lord their God, who had delivered them out of the hands of their enemy on every side. Amen. They did not remember the Lord. That is the scary part of backsliding. It's the scary part of backsliding. Someone that many of us know passed away just a few days ago. And someone that I know went to visit. And they told this individual, they said, I remember you playing your bass guitar on the platform. And I remember you putting your guitar down and dancing in the Holy Ghost all the way down the steps, all the way to the altar, and worship God and praise God. And when he said that, they began to weep. They wept and wept and wept. I'm telling you tonight, folks, we've got to be careful, amen, that we do not forget the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Sometimes we're not really doing a whole lot. But Matthew chapter 10 and verse 42, whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, not in the name of Jesus, but in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Same scripture in Mark chapter 9, verse 41. Can we stand together tonight? Cup of water. I don't know what that cup of water cost. Very, very inexpensive thing. Praise the Lord. Somebody's thirsty. Amen. Give them a cup of water. I had some men at the house doing some concrete work. And I said, are y'all thirsty? Would you like something to drink? Oh, yeah, we'd like something to drink. I went in the house and got some bottles of tea and brought it out to them. They were so thankful. Amen. Did you know tonight that God saw that? Amen. And Brother Charlie, I didn't do it for a reward. I did it just because I know what it's like to work hard and be thirsty. Amen. And not have anything to drink. There was compassion. There was a desire to bless somebody else. A very insignificant act. A very small thing. Amen. But the Lord says here in his word, amen, that we will never lose our reward. Because God does not forget. Can we pray together? Come on, somebody, lift your voice with me. Come on, let's make a commitment tonight. I'm going to serve God with all of my heart. I'm going to serve God with all of my heart because there's something else that he does not forget, and that's our sin, our unrepented sin. The things that we have done in this life that are against the ways of God. It's why we must repent and be baptized and receive the Holy Ghost, because we want to be on the right side of his memory. Praise God. Touch us tonight. Touch the young people tonight. Lay your hand upon the people tonight as we leave this place. Help us right now. Touch us with the Holy Ghost tonight. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you for the race that we've started on, Lord. But help us to finish the race. Help us to finish it with joy and peace in our hearts, knowing that you have a reward. In Jesus' name. Can we give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight? Thank God, thank God, thank God, thank God. Thank God, thank God. Let's sing a chorus tonight and put your hand on your neighbor's shoulder if it's appropriate.